The Advocates Pro Golf Association is doing a lot to help minorities and young people get involved in playing golf. My good friends Cole Smith and Ken Bentley, who are pretty decent golfers themselves, stopped by to talk about it all on This Lady Loves Sports.
Let's go!
Welcome to This Lady Loves Sports Podcast with Pat Prescott. Sports. She knows it all and is here to talk about it. So get ready to hear sports talk in a way that you've never heard before. It's This Lady Loves Sports Podcast. And here's your host, Pat Prescott.
You're listening to This Lady Loves Sports. I'm Pat Prescott, and I do love my two guests today. They are old friends. I'd like to first of all welcome Ken Bentley, who retired after 31 years as Vice President of Community Affairs and Workforce Diversity for Nestle, but he has not been sleeping. He stays busy all of the time, and he is currently the president of the Advocates Professional Golf Association. Welcome, Ken. It's good to see you.
Thanks, Pat. Good to see you, too.
And it's good to see my friend Cole Smith, who is the executive director of the organization. Cole is president and CEO of Sinclair Property Investments and has served on the board of the Advocates Foundation as well as the APGA Tour before taking on the role as executive director. He's kind of retired, too.
Kind of.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous of y'all. I think you have to be retired to play golf to really be able to seriously pursue it.
It does help.
Yeah. So I want to, first of all, before we talk about the organization and all the great things that you guys are doing to encourage more widespread participation in golf, I want to talk about your own personal love stories with this sport that when people play golf, they do really seem to fall in love. Right, Ken?
They do. It's some people have said it's like a drug. I swore I would never play golf. Yeah, I did, swore I'd never play. Couldn't understand why my friends were out there playing. And I was working at Nestle, and in the beginning, everybody played tennis, and I was a tennis player, and that was great. And then all the executives started playing golf. So I found that I was missing out on all of the meetings, 4 hours with the CEO that all of these other guys were getting. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to just play enough to get good enough so I could participate in those meetings.
Right, because a lot of business is going on the golf.
Oh, a lot.
There's a lot of downtime in that sport. So that's,
well, there's just
part of it.
There's just that time in the cart. There's that time. Mm-hmm. There's 4 hours. You're with someone. You get to know so much about them. You're out there competing, but mostly you're having fun and you're interacting and you're talking about business. And so I just felt like I was at a disadvantage because I wasn't involved in those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I'm going to get good enough just so I can play with the guys. And then I fell in love with it. Then I wanted to get better and better.
Right.
I found myself just playing as every chance I got. And that's where I am. I'm just a golf addict.
So what do you love about it?
A few things. One is you're outside.
Mm-hmm.
So you're no 2 days are alike. You know, no two courses are alike. You're out there with nature. And then you never master golf. I don't care how much you play. You know, how good you think you get, you just never match. So you're always trying to. You know, when you see a guy like Tiger Woods who goes out there and struggles. So you know, you'll never master it. But I just love the challenge.
Yeah. What about you, Cole? Tell us how you started playing and what it is that you love most about it.
So for me, golf was so foreign. Growing up in New York City was all about basketball. So my whole background.
Basketball and handball.
Basketball and handball.
There had to
right?
be some concrete somewhere.
Exactly. So it wasn't a sport that most of the guys in my neighborhood gravitated to. So basically, after I went overseas, I was playing basketball there. Came back to California. I had fell in love with California during one summer. Growing up in New York, I was able to come out and visit family relatives here. And later on, I'm playing basketball again. I wind up rooming with an individual that worked for the Clippers. He was a trainer. Carl Hong was a trainer for the Clippers. And shortly thereafter, I started working with the Clippers as well as an intern. And this is during the time they had Danny Manning and they had Ron Harper. So anyway,
they were halfway good then.
They were pretty good. They were pretty good. And so after morning practice, Ron Harper would always run over to the golf range and hit balls. And so one day he invited us to come, Carl and I, to come over. And we were over at the lakes in El Segundo. And Ron is going, you guys can't hit these balls. Y'all don't know nothing about golf. We're like, golf, it's got to be simple. The ball is sitting right there. So I got up and I swung and I whiffed. I missed the whole ball. And I said, oh, no, wait a minute. And at the time, there's a golf instructor walking by, and it's a man named Bill Wright. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about Bill Wright was Tiger Woods before Tiger Woods. Bill was a 1958 U.S. amateur champ. So Bill's laughing. Ron Harper's laughing, and Carl and I are not having any of it. We're saying, okay, we're going to have to come back and figure out how to play this sport. Well, it didn't work out that way. That whole year, I struggled. I really couldn't figure it out, and it took maybe 6 months off, and I came back to it, and Bill started giving me some lessons, and then from there, I fell in love with it, and it became a passion to mine. And then it was the affiliation with Ken Bentley and his group that helped to foster my relationship with golf. And then we were able to also give back to the community when we were bringing in the kids from the different youth organizations.
So what is it that you love the most about playing golf? What do you like about being out there?
I like being outdoors. I grew up in the park areas in New York, and so I always love being outdoors. And then I also like the camaraderie. The individuals you meet from different walks of life, it's very special. And like Ken stated, you have a captive audience for 4 or 5 hours. So you get to learn a lot about an individual. You get to learn a lot about other things that you may not have been aware of.
Yeah, you know, something that you mentioned, Ken, that you alluded to, that I think is so true, is that the fact that golf, to me, seems to be one of the most difficult sports to be consistently good at. I mean, because you can be good, but then you're playing against yourself, how you mm-hmm. played, you know, last time versus how you play in the day. You're playing against the field. You are playing the course. You're playing the weather. Mm-hmm. There's so many elements that you cannot control. And I think that that's why we have so many different winners,
right,
you know, for all of these tournaments. And that also kind of underscores how good you must really be to be an Arnold Palmer, or to be a Tiger Woods, or someone like that who wins consistently.
Right. Oh, no, I agree with you. And I played all sports. I played basketball and I played tennis, and golf is by far the hardest because you have to learn golf. So you have to take lessons. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to play, but there's also some basic stuff that you need to learn. In other sports, if you're a good athlete, you could go out and play basketball, a decent level of basketball. If you're a decent athlete, you could play baseball. But golf, you really need to learn some fundamentals and techniques. So it is the most difficult, but that's what makes it exciting. You know, that's what I love about it. I love the challenge, the fact that it is different every day, because the weather does play a big part in it.
Mm-hmm.
The grass is different. So when you play different courses with different kinds of grass, you'll notice that it's different. I mean, Tiger Woods talks about how on the East Coast, there's a different grass that they use for the greens. And so the putting's different than on the West Coast. So you have to adjust to that. The Midwest, because of the weather, mm-hmm. the grass reacts differently. So all that stuff makes it challenging and it makes it fun.
I think Tiger also brought another element to it, an element of athleticism. You know, before, I mean, you would think about golf as, you know, people riding around in the cart, not much real right. activity right, involved. Right. I mean, do you guys ride or walk?
Ride mostly. I should walk, though. I keep telling myself I'm going to walk more. But, you know, you're right about Tiger.
Yeah.
You know, he was the first guy to really work out and bring all that lifting weights and all of that. And so he forced all the other golfers to elevate their games by working out. And I mean, he's an amazing story to me, because here's a guy. People say, okay, Tiger Woods has all this God-given ability. And he does have some. But if you look at Tiger, he's not as big as Phil Mickelson, nowhere near as big, nowhere near as physically imposing as a number of the other golfers. And what sets him apart is really his mind. I mean, Tiger Woods never missed a putt he had to make. You know, he won, I think, 14 out of 15 majors when he was in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a guy who could close. His mind was just so much better than everyone else. And it wasn't just the right. physical. People have a tendency, you know, when there's black athletes that do really well, they always say they're
it's just their
gifted.
Gift. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, his was a mental thing that made him.
Yeah, his focus was impeccable, right?
Yeah.
And I think also his work ethic and the way he learned, and with his dad taking him to courses. I remember hearing him once talk about, what was it? It was a major that he won. It started to get dark, and they played it out to the end, and he won. And he, in an interview afterwards, was saying how he knew how to hit balls in the dark because that's when they used to go out to the course at night. And his dad had him hitting balls out there in the dark. Mm-hmm. You know, he practicing under the the worst conditions that you could do, but that made him really be able to play well when the conditions were bad.
Yeah, I think was against Rocco Media.
Yes, yeah. And there's a lot of work involved. I mean, this is somebody who has really worked very hard, I think, to get where they are. And sometimes people overlook that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as if he was kind of given something.
Right. I think they do overlook that. I mean, he's an amazing person, too. I sit on the board of his foundation, and I've been on the board for, 5 years or so. And he works as hard with his foundation as he does with his golf. He's at every single board meeting. He knows all the kids that are on scholarship. He's actively involved in every aspect. And I've never seen a celebrity who is as involved in their foundation as Tiger is.
Yes, but it's been nice, too, I think, to see him kind of rehabilitate his image a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how, when the whole scandal broke with him and, all of the girls he was seeing and all that stuff, and they all started talking and everything, and everyone was like, oh, Tiger. And you kind of fast forward to today and look at the kinds of things that we are seeing, with the whole Me Too movement and everything. It's really kind of interesting when you look back on, Tiger was doing something that a lot of guys, some girls do as well, dating outside of their marriage, seeing other people outside of their marriage, consensual though, and as all of the women have said as well, but we could all think about there. I'm sure everybody's got something that, boy, we would hate.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For everybody to know about us. But when you're in the spotlight like that, those things are going to happen to you. And it's been nice, though, to see him. He's kind of humanized to me now in a way that he wasn't before that incident. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree.
I would agree.
Yeah. I think he has made a tremendous comeback. You know, not only the scandal with the women, but the pain he was in.
That's right.
I mean, you think about
and not being able to play. Once you've played at a level that high, to then come back and to not be
able
to play.
Right.
Not make the cut in a lot of tournaments, you know.
And to see him win the U.S. Open on a broken leg. I mean, that's incredible. But you're right. Here's a guy that was at the greatest player ever. And then he went down to where he couldn't even hit a golf ball, would miss a cut, couldn't even finish a round. So I think it's an amazing story that he's come back to win a major tournament, to win the tour championship. It's a testament to that fortitude that we were talking about, that mental toughness that he has.
As a tribute to modern science, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Because years ago, I mean, there are procedures now that exist and training strategies that exist that didn't exist before.
That's true.
That can make a huge difference in something like that. There was a time, though, like for me, because I like to watch golf, but what we would do is we would record, because golf goes on forever. Come on now. When you love sports, it's hard because there's not enough hours in the day to keep up with all of these games and all the stuff that's going on, and then all the coverage of everything and the talk shows and the debates and all of that stuff. But we would record the golf, and then we would just fast forward past people who we didn't care about, and we'd watch Tiger and a couple other people, and do it that way. Now, of course, you can with DirecTV and some of the others, you can follow a player or follow
That's
a group,
true.
And so that there are a lot of different ways to watch it now. But I have found that since the time that Tiger took off, I'm kind of interested in a lot of the new wave of golfers too.
Great.
With
Justin Johnson,
and
Justin
Rose,
you got Tony Pinnell out there. There's a whole new wave of athletic golfers out there now.
Right.
You got Cameron Champ, who's a tremendous golfer as well. We've got Tim O'Neill. So there are a number of golfers that would be able to play different sports at any given point in time. They just chose golf as their main.
Well, I think that a big part of what you guys are doing with the Advocates Professional Golf Association is trying to find some of those golfers and nurture them along the way and kind of help us. Tell us a little bit. Why don't you start, Ken, and tell us about the organization, how it got started, and what some of the things are you're trying to do.
Well, we started 10 years ago. This is our 10th anniversary. And actually, it started kind of innocently enough. A conversation I had with Adrian Stills, who has been a friend of mine and a friend of Cole's. And Adrian actually played on the PGA Tour. And so we were playing golf one day and just having a conversation. And I said, Adrian, why aren't there more African Americans on the PGA Tour? And when Adrian played, there were probably 10 or 11. And at that time, 10 years ago, there was one Tiger Woods. And he said that back when he came along, there was a tour, the United Golf Association tour, where African Americans had a chance to hone their games. They had a chance to play tournaments. And he felt like if we could recreate something like that, then, you know, we could produce more African Americans and other minorities. And so with that in mind, went out, got some money, and we started with 3 tournaments back in 2010, and now we're at 7 tournaments. We started, our first prize was $4,000 back in those days. Now we'll have 15 at our tour championship. We have a bonus pool, but the big thing after we were in this for a few years, the big thing is we felt like we needed to get more kids involved, introduce the game to more kids, not only to get them playing golf, but also thinking about health and wellness and careers. And so we started the Advocates Foundation. And so at every one of our events, we bring in kids from community organizations, introduce them to the game. Adrian and some of our players give them golf lessons. And for most of these kids, it's the first time they've been on a golf course. And it's the first time they've held a golf club. So the excitement is unbelievable. I mean, they're fired up about actually hitting a golf ball.
Uh-huh.
So, I think...
And I guess they actually hit it instead of whiffing it like you did, huh, Colt?
Some of them whiff. Some of them hold the wrong end of the club.
Yeah. But some of them are pretty good. So the kids that do show promise and want to do it, we provide lessons for them to continue or get them in a program.
Mm-hmm.
So, I really think that the next Tiger Woods is out there in some of those classes either that we're doing or some of these classes that are introducing kids to the game. And I look at tennis. And tennis, 20 years ago, there wasn't anybody on the tennis circuit. Now there are, 10 or 11 African-American women ranked in the top 100 in the world.
And they got some guys coming on, Francis Tiafoe.
We keep
praying for Donald Young.
Yeah, we do. We do. But Tiafoe's going to be awesome.
He already is.
And young guy, 21 years old.
Yeah, I think he's going to win some majors. I really do.
And there's a bunch of other kids coming up. So tennis has really opened it up. If you have ability, then the tennis community will help you get to where you need to be. And golf is catching up to that, and we're trying to play our role and catching up with that.
So, Cole, how do people, though, from disadvantaged communities deal with the expense of being involved with playing golf? You know, you talk about all the equipment that's necessary and then the access to courses. There's some pretty good public courses here, though.
Yeah.
And
right.
I'd like to talk a little bit about that, too, what some of your favorite courses are. But how are you addressing some of that?
Well, there are different programs that are available to many of the youth, especially here in California. I mean, one is the First Tee program that they're doing a lot. And then there are other organizations such as LA 84 that has a golf component. The Brotherhood Crusade is actually working with the APGA Tour to do some things as well. And then let's not leave out the sponsorship. You know, we went over to Lexus, and Lexus just said, you know what, we want to be a part of what you're doing. So they funded, we've got a 3-year contract with Lexus for the APGA Tour. And then when we brought in the Advocates Foundation portion, AHF, AIDS Health Foundation, said, we want to be a part of that what you guys are doing as well. Mm-hmm. So without that initial funding from those two entities, we would still be very, very much resource dependent and struggling to do what we do. And then we also have other companies that are sponsoring us as well. We've got the PGA Tour that helps us quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Nestle's helps us quite a bit.
Yes,
as
Ken
well.
Has never really left. Ken has no problem with going back home to Nestle.
Yeah,
and they have supported a lot of great causes over the years. And a lot of it because you made them aware of those.
Right. Farmers Insurance as well. So the sponsorship is growing for us. And then we're able to reach out to the community. I call it a grassroots approach. So when we go to different cities, we ask many of our members on the board to reach out to perhaps their fraternities or some of the universities they attended so we can help bring in more youth from those communities, from those surrounding communities. We are in seven cities, as Ken stated. Our next city that we'll be venturing into is Miami.
And what are the other cities you're in already?
We're in Miami. We're in Tampa. We have a tournament in Dallas. Our tour championship is in Atlanta. And then this year, we're going to be playing TPC Scottsdale.
Chicago.
Nice.
And then we've also played Chicago. And we play Innisbrook in Tampa, Florida.
Which will be nice because Innisbrook is a black-owned resort.
Oh.
Sheila Fraser owns it.
Oh, okay.
And they have a PGA Tour tournament there. And so Sheila Johnson.
Johnson.
Oh, okay, from Johnson. Johnson Publishing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, company. So she owns, it's a great story because Sheila owns 10 or 11 golf resorts.
Interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, she and high-end golf resorts. So Salamander is the name of her company that owns these resorts.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so she's partnered with you guys as well on some of this?
She's partnered with us on Innisbrook. She gave us an unbelievable rate, and she's been our partner in Innisbrook.
Now, for anybody who is listening to us, who's maybe got kids or is aware of kids that are in their neighborhood or something who might potentially have talent and wanted to be involved in this, how do you find the people that you get involved in your program, the young people?
The Advocates Foundation would be the initial avenue for the young ones to come in because that's where we have the youth clinic. The APGA Tour is mainly professionals, but we do invite amateurs who are not entitled to prize money, of course.
It gives them
opportunity to play on the same stage and to be seen. And they can test their skill. They can test their skills against the professionals.
Mm-hmm. But I think there's a number of programs out there that introduce kids to the game. You were asking about the cost, how we deal with the high cost of golf.
Mm-hmm.
First Tee is an interesting organization because a young person can get involved in the First Tee, and we've partnered with the First Tee. They can get involved with the First Tee for a nominal fee. First Tee will provide clubs for them when they're getting introduced to the game. And once they really decide they want to play golf, I think they can play golf courses, public golf courses, for like a dollar. So those kinds of groups have greatly reduced the cost of golf because golf is outrageously expensive. And so what we've seen is that a young person who wants to play golf, they could play in high school and pretty much get everything taken care of. They can play in college if they're good enough. But golf is kind of like the foster care system. Once a young person finishes college, they're pretty much out on their own. And so we found that minority players, they're just kind of out there trying to figure their way out and how to figure out how to get on tour. So we kind of fill that gap for them. So we not only provide the tournaments for them to play, but we had one young person that actually went to Dr. Williams. The young person had a bad back and couldn't afford medical care. So we paid for him to go see Dr. Williams.
That's great.
Dr. Williams gave us an unbelievable deal. But, you know, we are that gap for them until they're able to make enough money and get to the point where they can play on tour. So I think we provide a valuable resource in that area.
So you guys also have a front row seat to see some of the minority players that are coming up right now. Tell us about some of the names that we should be looking for in the future.
I think if you look at guys who have played our tour, Tony Finau, who's in the top 10.
You've been seeing him a lot now.
Yeah, Tony played in our tour championship in L.A. at Chester, Washington. And, and you go out to Chester, they still talk about how far Tony hit the ball. Harold Varner. who's on the PGA Tour right now. He played in our Tampa tournament. But if you look at the guys who are playing our tour all the time, Willie Mack from Detroit. Willie finished fifth at PGA Tour Latino America. Great young player. Trey Valentine from Florida.
Kamayu Johnson.
From Jacksonville, right. Florida. There are a number of guys out there that are right at the cusp of making it. And we say a putt or two from making it on the PGA Tour and being on TV. So I think you'll see these guys. Another 5 years, I think you'll see a whole different face in golf.
We kind of look forward to that. As we were all looking forward here to the Genesis Open, which was just last week here in Southern California out at Riviera, which, you know, I used to work with Brian McKnight here. Brian is is an avid golfer, and I understand, you know, plays very well.
Yeah.
But he loves Riviera, talks about that course all the time. But I was wondering, you know, because we were wondering back and forth, are they going to be able to play? Because we've been having all this horrible weather and all the rain coming in and stuff. And one thing I notice about golf is I see people, they play golf in the rain. It's like, you know, football and golf seem to be the only sports where they're like, oh, who cares about the weather? Let's just play.
Right.
So some of those football games, I'm sorry. Yeah. Some of those, they need to just stop.
I agree.
But how do you determine how much rain is too much rain? What would make you cancel playing or cancel a tournament? What has to happen?
Well, we went through that. We had our big LA tournament a few weeks ago during that whole rainy thing. It was supposed to be a 4-day event and it only ended up being 2 days. And part of it's lightning. When it's lightning,
yeah,
you know, we cancel all play.
Gotta shut all that down.
Shut all of it down. And then the other thing is if the greens get flooded, if there's too much water on the greens, then they postpone play.
And I'm sure they have pretty good drainage, though, most of these courses,
most
though, because
most of
that reason, right?
Yeah, most of
it. Yeah.
All the courses, like Riviera, is unbelievable in that respect. You know, if it rains, they got 100 people out there squeegeeing the greens and trying to make it playable. But golf, they play, unless it's lightning pretty much, or just a crazy downpour. But
just bring the umbrellas.
Yeah, just bring the umbrellas. And the guys are out there playing.
That's really something. Well, I tell you what, we are excited about the work that you're doing. Looking forward to seeing more minority players coming through your organization and more kids being able to be exposed to golf as well. One last question. What do you guys think? You think Tiger's going to win another major? Is it going to happen?
I believe he will. I believe he has it in his bag there, so we just have to wait and see.
I think he's going to win multiple majors. I think he's hitting the ball as well as he ever has.
Right.
And
he seems more relaxed, too.
He does.
He seemed very uncomfortable for quite a while when he's coming back. And I think it was a lot more than the back issues.
Just I think so.
The whole thing, you know. But he looks different now.
I think I had the opportunity to play with him a month or so ago.
And how'd you do?
He's the greatest player of all time. I had some good shots,
some good shots.
Yeah, but to see him up close like that is amazing. I mean, I think he's hitting the ball as well as ever. Now, what's missing is that whole belief that he's going to make every putt that, you know, that means something.
And people almost expect that.
Yeah, you do. You know, I think he did too. And so he's gradually getting that back. And I think once he gets that back, I think he's going to win multiple majors.
And I think it's more interesting now that the other players are not quite as intimidated by him. I think that makes it a lot more interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, than when he would just whoop every, like when Serena was at the height of her powers and we didn't expect anybody to beat her anyway.
No. Right.
You know, so it's always a competition is a real important element of any kind of sporting event. There's got to be some competition. A beatdown is never a lot of fun.
well, you bring up tennis, and I think this young girl that's Japanese and Haitian.
Oh, yes. Naomi Osaka.
She's going to be awesome.
She is awesome already. She's already won two majors in a row, and I'm looking to see who's going to be the one that beats her. She's pretty awesome. And, you know, speaking of women, I had on the program just recently Troy Mullins, who's, I don't know if you, do you know Troy?
Oh, gosh.
The long drive champ.
Yeah.
Oh, she's
smart girl.
Incredible. And she had
absolutely.
A great story about how they were out hitting on the course and Tiger came to watch while she was hitting and how nervous she was. Are we going to see more minority women, do you think, playing golf?
I think we will. Mariah Stackhouse from Stanford is on tour now. She's doing really well. Tiger's niece, Cheyenne Woods, is out there. She's on tour.
Uh-huh.
I think we will. Again, I think golf, the golf establishment has to use the tennis model and take cost out of it. You know, and when they do that, I think you'll see the floodgates of people doing it. Because it's still really expensive once you get to that level. But there's another woman at Stanford that's really good. I was watching the NCAAs last year. Alabama had a woman that was an African-American woman that's really good. So I think you'll see more. You definitely will.
So for people who want to find out more about your organizations, why don't you tell us how they can do that?
Well, two ways. One is the APGATour.org. Just go online and you'll find more information on our website. And then also the AdvocatesFoundation.org, and you'll find out about our health and wellness career symposium.
Facebook, too. We're on Facebook.
We're on Facebook. Instagram, Twitter. Right. So we're using all the social mediums out there.
It's been fun chatting with you gentlemen. It's good seeing both of you again.
Always a pleasure.
And I hope you'll come back and see me again real soon.
Oh, definitely. Well, I hope to see you on the golf course. That's
yes,
where I want to see
you. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to learn how to play golf.
We're going to invite you out.
Okay, but you all are going to hook a sister up, right?
Yeah, we're going to get you a starter.
All right, I'm expecting that.
Okay.
Yeah.
This lady loves sports, and so do these two guys. Thank you so much for listening today.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you.